How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Tuesday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this 20th day of October 2020. We got lots of 20s in there. Just had a few more 20s in my wall. Actually, I don't even carry any cash these days. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you, and you're waking up to a rather wet start to your Tuesday. We've got some rain around. It's been raining for most of the overnight hours. We'll rain through the morning, should taper off, and this afternoon will be cloudy. Not that warm today, high of 10. Tomorrow, showers, windy, warmer, 17. Thursday, partly sunny, 11. Friday, partly sunny, 21. That's right, it's going to be 21 on Friday. So we're in for a bit of a roller coaster. 10 today, 17 tomorrow, 11 Thursday, 21 Friday. I know, it makes no sense. Right now, we're sitting at 4 degrees. As we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm good. Enjoyed the doubleheader of the football yesterday, and I'm going to attempt to be a baseball fan tonight, Jared. You look at the weather, and you just realize, hey, I'm searching through it. I've watched every Anthony Bourdain 1,000 times. I've gone through all my documentaries, and it's like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit of the hype, feeling some excitement, so I'll dive in. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Yeah, despite a pair of losses, my fantasy football teams on the weekend.
Yeah, My team, actually, I just, you know what, and I say this every time I lose, I've gone down to 2-4. I'm like, I'm just quitting. And there I am. First thing this morning, I'm on the waiver wire. Isn't that, that's the neat part about competition, right? I'm looking at it, and I'm going against Warrensy on the weekend. I'm just like, you know what, I'm feeling pretty good about my team, and my team sucks. I got Burkhead as my running back because old Chubster's out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what, this isn't going to be my year. And I'm also almost ready to put out the old, hey, listen, anybody wants to do some trades, I'm going to help anybody out that I can. And then there I am this morning just going through it, being like, okay, if I can just find a running back, I could actually be in pretty good shape.
So yeah, you'll have to fight me for one of them.
Oh, will you?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I got, I only had two. One of them's injured now, and the other's on a bye week. So,
would that be, usually tight end is the toughest spot, right? But is running back pretty darn close as far as trying to fill out the rosters?
I'd say tight end is tight always end. The hardest because it has the fewest good players. So I always try to corner the market on tight end. So I've got two of them.
Yeah.
Of course, one of them last week was they were both on a bye because one got flexed into a bye. That's the type of year it's been for me too. I'm with you, Simmer, at 2-4, struggling, as Joe Namath would say.
And I'm watching Mr. Elliott, and I'm saying the Hammer, I'm saying, I think that guy's hitting the pipe quite a bit. I see him getting interviewed, and I see him playing, and I'm feeling some Ricky Williams going on here. If you're a Cowboys fan, all the complaints for years about the coach isn't good enough. This buffoon that they have on the sideline right now, do you think he's going to last a year?
They've paid him enough money and he's got a long enough contract that he'll get the year. But listen, everything that everybody had said, all the Packers fans, when he got hired by Dallas, will go, just wait. And, it's taken 6 games. Now, listen, the Cowboys, like other teams, have been dealt a tough card with the injuries, but injuries are a part of football. I always say that.
Yeah.
My team's been decimated, too, but when you lose your starting quarterback, I really thought that the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, would come in, and a veteran guy, and I would thought he'd come in, and I'm not saying he would be as good as Dak Prescott, but give them a decent quarterbacking.
Yeah.
He looked horrendous for the first half.
Now, maybe
that was out of rhythm with the receivers. Maybe he'll get a little bit better. I don't count what happened in the second half,
because
that's garbage time. Yeah. The Cardinals are way in the lead. They're playing prevent defense pretty much. But Andy Dalton was, he was a pale comparison to Dak Prescott.
Yeah, and that offensive line, they've got a bunch of injuries, but he looks like the old quarterback that doesn't want to get hit. I thought, hey, this is a smart signing. This is going to be kind of Teddy Bridgewater last year with the Saints. Not the case. And they just ended up stinking it up. And you look at that, and when you say, hey, I'm bad on offense, bad on defense, special teams, and the coach said he didn't do his job, well, probably the Jair's going to be coming down talking to people. And on the other side of the ball, and we talked about this yesterday with Diggs, but when you think about the Hopkins trade, I know it's the obvious of being a bad trade, but these star players, first of all, what he's done for that team, but at the same time, the heart that you rip out. And yesterday when we talked to Duke, hey, when you watch Kyler Murray, are you not watching that last night feeling so much of Patrick Mahomes? Like, this guy is an elite athlete, and they're actually on a pretty good path right now. The only problem for them is they're in the best division in football.
Yeah. In watching him on primetime for the first time, though, I mean, he's so quick and fast, right? I mean, with the ball in his hands, he is incredible. And throws a nice deep ball like that.
Yeah.
His accuracy was all over the map in the first half.
True.
And his passing numbers overall, I think he ended up like 8 of 21
or
9 of 21 on the night. So overall, statistically, didn't look great. But he hit the throws when he needed to.
Yeah.
I think that the passing game needs a bit of work. But you can see that that's a real good player there.
Yeah, and I also wonder in the time of, I mean, how much focus is put on baseball versus football, right? Like, I think the learning curve for him is only, what, 21 years old, 22 years old?
He's very young.
A young guy. And that was also in yesterday, and it was kind of teed up the day before by Troy Aikman. I find it interesting if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, and I was cheering for him yesterday, hoping for him. That was a fun game to watch. They keep kind of diving in without saying it, but keep talking about what a great arm he has, but really question where the football IQ is. And I felt that on the broadcast Sunday as they teed up the game, but even more yesterday, just kind of like, okay, we really like Josh Allen, but can he see the field and can he feel the game? And that was just kind of the feel you had yesterday. It was one of those games where, you know what, with the old wet ball and trying to run it quite a bit and just trying to feel the game, he didn't have a whole lot of feel yesterday.
All right, more on the football coming up. We'll tee up game one of the World Series, which starts tonight, and Simmer is clearly on the bandwagon. We won't ask him. We'll ask him later on which team he's actually cheering for tonight. We've got a little bit of hockey news. Evgeny Dadonov, the daddy, speaks for the first time after being signed by the Sens last week. We got some World Junior news as well. What? Who's your daddy?
Is that the nickname we're going with?
Well, that's his nickname.
That is actually his nickname.
Bob Bugner, the coach down in Florida, called him daddy. So that's where we're going.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? Yeah. Call Me Daddy is a very popular podcast. For those that are looking for a nice podcast.
Is he a host of that podcast?
No, he's nothing to do with the podcast, nor is it anything mentioned in that podcast, anything to do with hockey.
Okay.
In fact, it could be seen as, we won't even talk about it. No, we'll just not even go there. So it's all good.
Okay.
So, we'll
he understands it. He gets it. Daddy's fine. He's cool with it.
Yeah. All right. Birthdays today. If you're celebrating, happy birthday to you this October 20th. Or speaking of being on the pipe, Snoop is having a birthday today. He's 49 years old.
Wafting concert-like smells.
There you go.
Lived a pretty full life at 49,
yes.
And not a bad actor, depending on the movie that you turn. What?
Well, what movie was he a good actor in?
Oh, Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky.
Why?
Where he plays Huggy Bear.
Oh, no, I thought he was great, Hammer. Are you joking?
Okay, give me the quote.
Oh, I don't have any quotes, but I'm just saying, I just say anything that he hops into, he makes it feel cool, and certainly his cameo on Hockey Night in Canada, I think he does a great job, actually.
He's caddying, he's on the golf course, and he goes, I know a lot about golf, but I know a lot more about grass.
Nice.
That's his line.
What an actor. What an actor. Was he the one that had the son that was a pretty decent football
player?
Yeah,
he was actually coaching the team as well, and I believe... and time flies pretty quickly, I thought he was playing college ball somewhere.
I think he started and then crashed
yeah,
out.
Probably caught hitting the pipe, eh? Hey?
Sure. Tom Petty was born on this day in 1950. Tom Petty would have been 70 years old today.
Wow, he looked 70 in the 80s, so good for him.
Yeah, well, he passed away, of course, 2017, but speaking of the pipe.
Well,
the song called Mary Jane, right? There we go. So Tom Petty would have celebrated a birthday today. Always, you know, whenever I'm kind of flicking through my my musical streaming service of choice, kind of like, I kind of listen to that too much, listen to that. I like to really discover new music every once in a while. I'll go back into it. I can always settle on a little bit, like 10 minutes of Tom Petty.
Yeah.
And I feel good. Like, it's always a go-to.
Yeah.
Kind of like the hip for me. Never get sick of it.
Yeah.
Don't like to listen to it too much, but it's always a go-to.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's certain ones that don't get played a lot, even when Traveling Wilburys? Is that throwing a little bit of that once in a while? That's not a bad tune, or some of the tunes that they had. Roy Orbison?
Yes.
Looked a little bit funky, the whole band, but you listen to that tune now, pretty good.
58 years ago today in 1962, this song debuted at number one on the charts, just ahead of Halloween.
When my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Bobby Morris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers.
Wow.
Now, that is the name of a good backup band. The Crypt Kickers debuted at number one with Monster Mash in 1962.
That's funny you say that. Just thinking about growing up with Halloween. That was a tune you always heard. The other one, for some strange reason, Hammer, and we'll have to play it later in the show, Naked Ladies in a Bottle of Wine. That's when I hear that tune. That's the other tune that comes to mind. You remember that song, Hammer?
For Halloween?
No, not
at all.
No, I don't know why.
Ladies in a Bottle of Wine, Mama.
Yeah, one? Yeah. That
Who
was
sang
always.
That?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I just remember.
Hammer,
those.
Do not Google Naked Ladies. Okay. Do the whole song.
In a bottle of wine.
I'll just do it in YouTube. And...
Oh, no. That one right there, for sure. Always heard in and around Halloween. Would have no idea who sang the song. No idea why it was played other than Halloween. But
are sure that's what it's called. Naked Ladies.
No. I'm not sure about that, Hammer. That's one of the key lyrics in it.
Lyric.
Well, what comes up as his actual song?
Nothing so far, but Painted Ladies is.
Oh, okay, that too.
When I YouTube
that's
naked
right, it's
ladies.
Painted Ladies. Not now that you say okay. that, Painted Ladies in a Bottle. It's not Naked Ladies.
Must have been a re.
Where's your mind?
Well,
at
another
this morning?
Another version that was redone. That was when I was in Russia. It was Naked Ladies in a Bottle
by Ian Thomas.
I don't know him.
Russian women are looking for you. They would like to be brought to North America.
Who's your daddy?
There you go. Call me daddy. All right, 6:18. Let's bring some order to this, shall we? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into all the news of the day. We had a doubleheader of Monday Night Football, including the Bills and the Cowboys, both going down to defeat. So we'll chat about that. The Tennessee Titans look like they're going to escape the heavy hand of the NFL for doing all that practicing while they were in the midst of a COVID outbreak on the team. So we'll catch up on that. We'll talk some hockey. We'll hear from the daddy, Evgeny Dadonov, the newest Ottawa Senator. We'll tell you all about the World Juniors. They announced the schedule yesterday. Of course, we'll tee up game one of the World Series, which starts tonight between the Rays and the Dodgers. We've got a busy show ahead. We're glad you're with us here. It's a rainy start to your Tuesday morning, and you're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. And con right there. Canadian content.
Oh, is it?
Ian Thomas.
Oh, okay.
That's the reason you would have heard that a lot is because, Canadian radio stations mandated to play a lot of Canadian music, even really bad music like that.
Oh, I actually think it's great. And I think we were visiting Quebec Nordiques back in the day when it was with the Caps, and went and bought the, I think it was 4-8 CD set, the Juno Awards, and brought that back to the United States because I wanted my Canadian music. So that was a big thing at the time, that little box set.
Can you name any other artist on that box set of Canadian content from the 1980s?
Oh, no. There was a bunch. I mean, and first of all, they had any tune that had either a Canadian as a writer. You had the Guess Who. So you had a little BTO. I'm trying to think of some of the other songs that were on there. Four Strong Winds. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God. Isn't that Buffy St.
Well,
Marie?
We used to sing
that.
It must
have been a hit in the locker room.
No, we used to sing that in grade school. That's the only reason I know that, is that for some strange reasons. But no. There were a bunch of, again, and this is April Wine, this is Rush, this is anything Canadian that you didn't hear a whole lot of the United States coming back in, 90s. So I actually really enjoyed that. Made some mixed CDs back in the day. Who doesn't miss doing that? Hey, remember? Little transfer of tunes.
Don't you mean mixed tapes?
No, CDs. On the CDs, you'd do that, right?
You would burn at what year are we talking about?
I'm going to go 96, 97, Hammer, around that time.
Wow. Mr. Technology
over there. Oh, no, I wasn't technology. I think that was that would have been close to the Napster time, or Napster came a little bit later, right?
No, you would have been pretty close to there.
But I think Napster was already into digital music because I had the little thing that I'd carry around when I went for a run or a little workout.
Your MP3
player? Yeah, a little bit later, yeah. Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. I'm just imagining you burning CDs.
Oh, no. It was, why not?
I'm trying to picture that, and quite frankly, I can't.
No, and like I said, I had the Canadian satellite that was sent down by TSN, which was illegal at the time, placed on the house in Maryland, and get all my Canadian music, Canadian content, get TSN back in the day. So when I was cruising around in the vehicle, wanted to have a little Canadian tunes as well.
Now, Brian, with an update. Ian Thomas is Dave Thomas's brother. Dave Thomas from
Strange Brew,
SCTV.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Wow.
I did not know that. Thank you, Brian. Brian completely could have made that up, and I'm completely falling.
What's the other singer, Hammer? Is it Robbie Thomas that did the duet with Santana?
We're talking about Rob Thomas?
Yeah, Rob Thomas.
And we're talking about Smooth?
Smooth, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the better
I don't think they're related.
Yeah, we're going all over the place.
Definitely.
As soon as I
Canadian.
Heard that right there and now, wow, that's Dave Thomas. Is he also in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
No, but he created Wendy's.
Okay.
I mean, he went on to...
Not the same one either.
Different one?
Yes.
Okay, oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just joining in the simmer flow here.
Well, no, that was him and Rick Moranis, right? Is that the duo? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That's another. Now I'm thinking Christmas. I'm thinking Christmas in 1983. Getting my Bob and Doug McKenzie album. Hey, who didn't? If you didn't have Kodiak work boots, if you didn't have that album, you were not even close to cool, right?
Listeners, this the first 27 minutes of this show.
I know. Hey, JR, we got 2 months of this, so be thankful you have someone like myself. Suffer until we get to January.
Oh, I am, my friend. I am. All right, let's start with the football games from last night. We had a doubleheader of Monday night football. We'll start with the nightcap, which if you went to bed early, you're kind of thinking, the Cardinals look like they got this one. The Cardinals had that one. Well in hand, thanks to a big night from Kyler Murray.
Here's the snap. Fake handoff. Drops back further. Got a block from the center. Winds up. Long pass. Oh, he's got Kirk. Lunging catch at the 40. And the number's the 30. Chase to the 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown, Arizona. 80-yard bomb. What a catch. Christian Kirk takes it to the house.
Second touchdown of the night for Kirk. That one, an 80-yard catch and run. And, man alive. I mean, great deep ball from Kyler Murray. He didn't lay out, but he reaches as far as he can forward.
Yeah.
He catches it at the end of his fingertips, down around his knees, and is able to corral it and stay on his feet and go in for the long score. Gave the Cardinals the huge lead, and it wasn't close. 38-10 was the final.
And the one right there, JR, what is he open by, 15 yards? I mean, the only thing that could have gotten in the way is him overthrowing the receiver. Dallas, just a gong show on every facet of the game, and sitting there at 2-4 in recognition of, and then no joke, now what are we going with, 6 wins? 6-10 going to win the division?
I would say 5 or 6 wins is going to win.
Interdivisional play, somebody's got to win.
Exactly.
But boy, that, and I'm not for changing rules. Hey, the playoffs are the playoffs. I think the format, the National Football League, even as they've expanded, is the best in the business. But boy, you look at that, and what a sad state for me. Again, I joked yesterday about being a Cowboys, Redskins. I've never been a Giants fan, but when you think about...
You're not welcome on the Eagles.
No, I'm not coming there. But you think about the tradition of that division. What a gong show. And for the Dallas Cowboys, they're still... I'm enjoying this even more this year, and I don't know why.
Them losing and sucking?
Yeah, I really do. That Zeke, like I said, he's on the pipe. He was interviewed the other day. The guy doesn't have a pulse. He's got no leadership capabilities. The whole feel of the team, the owner, the coach is an absolute beached whale. I mean, this guy is a massive man that looks like behind that mask he's having trouble breathing.
He's got too big.
That can't be fun for him.
That mask is way too high.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a normal size mask. It's just his head is so big. Do you know what I mean?
I'm all for following the put it up over your nose. Be safe and all that. He's got it up. I don't even think he can see. That mask is so high.
Well,
And like maybe that's part of the problem.
But he needs the, and then again, they're customizing these things. When you have multiple chins, like he needs a multiple chin mask, a normal size mask. Everything's big in Texas. He's got to get that customized.
If he
is a big, and I'm actually, he does not look healthy. And the stress of sports, but you just see him yesterday. He is so defeated. And that whole crew has no life. And if you're Dak Prescott a week ago, you're thinking, man, I'm in trouble. Well, all of a sudden, last night you're watching that game. It's just a big cash show. It's a big cash show right
now. Show me the money!
Exactly.
Share.
That's all that he just sitting back and, hey, that red rifle, you think that's going to be a good show? No, not happening. Hey?
Dak Prescott's negotiating.
Oh, man.
Stance went from... kind of in the middle to, oh, no, he's busted his ankle. Maybe his career's over. Yeah. Oh, no, he's okay. He'll be fine next year. To, oh, Andy Dalton's coming in. Oh, Andy Dalton came in, and he wasn't very good.
No, and you know what's also funny? And I know the guys come to play last night, J.R. Hammer, but I watched that, and hearing the tone going in is almost like, well, we really don't want to do well, because if we do well under the red rifle, well, what's that going to do to Dak? And you're just sitting there, and I think there's even more of an appreciation, first of all, how good Dak Prescott is. And I'm not saying a star, a real good quarterback, but just stability he brings to, again, look at the leadership of this group right now. They are absolutely just rudderless as a crew.
Yeah. Bad defense. That's been the story all year in Dallas. But the offense was good enough to at least, under Dak Prescott, to at least get them those two wins. Or I guess one win, because he ended up getting hurt before they won the second one. But now with Dalton in there, I mean, that was, honest to goodness, that was a real struggle in there. And Arizona is an okay defense, not a great defense. Cowboys couldn't get it. Like, he had happy feet. He was getting smoked everywhere.
Yeah.
They got backups all over the offensive line. He's throwing to his tight end, who should be probably his eighth choice of the guy. He's got this star-studded receiving core, and he keeps throwing to this guy named Schultz all the time. Yeah. And if I'm the Cardinals, I'm going, okay, keep throwing it to that guy all night. I'm good. Holtz. Do not target CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper. Just keep throwing it to 86 there, and we're good.
Well, you don't have any time. And points on turnovers was, what, 24-4? Zeke dropped the ball a couple of times. No field. What's happened to their defense, though? I thought in a couple of years ago that they were considered not one of the better, but I thought that was actually a strength of the team.
Well,
injuries, free agency?
Yeah, they lost. They had Robert Quinn last year, who was a defensive end, who had a number of sacks, and he kind of paired really well with DeMarcus. It's interesting you bring up that, because DeMarcus Lawrence, I'm not sure what's going on with him, because he was a very good pass rusher the last few years. And maybe Cowboy fans can update me, but I he's nowhere. Every time I watch the Cowboys, I do not see that guy at all playing. Yeah. And the other problem has been the defensive backfield has been a problem area, and then they let Byron Jones go, their cornerback, because they just ran, you know, in free agency. They just couldn't afford to sign him. And so their defensive backfield is pretty much Swiss cheese right now. So, and then they had Leighton Vander Esch was injured. Yeah. He got back last night. So it's just a bad defense, and they can't stop anybody. And right now with Andy Dalton as their quarterback, doesn't look like they can score either. So, but hey, two wins is enough to lead the division right now. And if you win your division games, here is what's going to happen. And I do not take the Washington football team or the New York Giants seriously, even though they're only a win behind with one win each. It's going to come down to if one of either Philadelphia or Dallas sweep the two games between them, that will be the team that wins the division, in my estimation.
Yeah, and you also have Arizona in that division. What is it, San Fran to the Rams to the Seattle Seahawks?
Seattle 5-0.
They're probably going to end up 10-6 and probably won't end up making the playoffs. Or would they get in?
Well, there's an extra team this year, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So we could have there's a very good possibility we're going to have something along the lines of a 10-6 or 11-5 wild card team that is going to be playing a road game in the playoffs against a team that's got 5 or 6 wins.
Which in this case isn't a big deal, right? Like, that's a little different
than
the Giants.
Well, with no home field advantage.
Yeah, with the Giants running the table back in the day and beating my unbeaten Patriots in a year like this, you just say, hey, let me in an empty stadium. And it really did yesterday, and I say this because the passionate part of, and they were talking about the Bills, that, hey, if you played there, and I think it was it the old receiver Reed that they showed on the pregame, just talked about on a Thursday night, you'd already see some of the vans coming in, some of the trailers, people getting ready for the game. With no fans there yesterday and a bit of rain as we're headed towards the bad weather and some of the snow, I found it just kind of eerie isn't the right word, but on most of the days we've turned on, it's a sunny day. You're like, okay, it's a little bit of football. That just felt a little strange yesterday. And I think for some teams, you probably feel that a little more when you get to the bad weather.
Yep. And certainly the Buffalo Bills played like they're in an empty stadium with no emotion yesterday, because the Kansas City Chiefs ran all over them in the early game to the tune of 245 yards on the ground, 161 of them to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the electric rookie for the Chiefs. And listen, Patrick Mahomes and that offense is all about throwing the ball and getting it all over the field and all the speedsters they've got. Well, if you can't stop the run, here's the thing, and Mahomes said as much, I'm just going to keep handing it off because they were just, it was 6, 7, 8, 9 yards at a time, first down after first down. They controlled the clock like crazy. You can keep the other team off the field. You're going to win every single time you put up numbers like Kansas City did yesterday.
Yeah, and watching that yesterday, just as I'm getting ready to think about maybe a Buccaneers jersey, and I'd never buy one, I'm watching that and thinking, you know what?
Chiefs?
I know. I think my Patriots are going to beat the Bills come November 1st.
Oh, you're back on the bandwagon.
I think my
Simmer? I mentioned yesterday, what about the Dolphins? What about casting both of those teams aside?
I don't feel that. I don't know.
You look good in teal.
Yeah, been to
with aqua blue.
Yeah, been to a couple
of games. That's too early to jump on that bandwagon.
No, been to a couple of games there too, and it's just not I don't know. Nothing about Florida sports has any feel to it, but I'm sincerely thinking a little bit of practice, a little bit, and I'm thinking, boy, of the way that Josh Allen, and they say he struggles under pressure. I look at the secondary for the Patriots. I'm feeling a little victory come November 1st, and I'm also feeling like, hey, still a pretty good chance the Pats could end up winning that division.
All right. Well, this was the type of night it was for the Bills last night.
Allen retreats. Here comes Chris Jones, but he floats a pass over the middle. It's going to be intercepted. Dirty Dan Sorensen with the pick. A one-handed grab and the eighth pick of Dirty Dan's career. He gets a pick on the first Bills turnover of the game, and it comes at 1:11 to go in the contest, and the Chiefs leading by 9.
And that one sealed the win. I never knew he was known as Dirty Dan Sorensen. That was a very nice little one-handed pick of Josh Allen, which you got to throw it up. They're down by 2 scores. But that's the type of night it was for. I'm not exactly sure where Terry Bradshaw was going. I watched a bit of the halftime, and he's like, well, Allen is all over the place. Well, first of all, Josh Allen was fantastic for the first 4 games of the season. Now he's teetered a bit. But last night, it's a rainy night. They're playing from behind for most of the game. I'm not suggesting that Josh Allen is all the way there among the best quarterbacks of the NFL, but he's shown some nice progress.
Yeah,
last night was a bit of a step backward.
Yeah.
I wouldn't overread too much of that if I'm into Bills.
I'm a fan in the sense of you hear about all the things he's working on, mechanics, trying to understand the game. But also, and I'll say this, I get this sense there's kind of some text messages going on, if Terry Bradshaw texts with him and Troy Aikman, where people legitimately question, hey, this guy's got the arm. And he keeps going back to his pro day. He could throw the ball 85 yards, seen it.
Yeah.
But he also, I just get this feeling that the insiders and both of these guys, hey, they've won an awful lot of Super Bowls. Not so sure about the football IQ and the ability to kind of read the field. And that's really what you feel when you watch the broadcast and listen to Aikman and certainly listen to Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw takes it to kind of a more of a negative where, and again, this is part of the argument. Maybe it was back to draft day, but it feels like there's some real questions about the young quarterback.
Bills lose their second in a row. 26-17 is the final, so they're at 4-2. They still lead the division. Miami's at 3-3. Patriots at 2-3. And as you mentioned, Patriots and Bills are meeting in a couple of weeks with potentially at that point first place on the line. We don't need to mention the New York football Jets, already irrelevant in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes at 0-6. And there is the way the AFC East lays out. We've got the East division in both of the conferences. Not very good. We've got one team collectively over 500 of the 8 that are playing East Coast football in the NFL. So that puts a wrap on week 6 of the National Football League. By the way, we should congratulate unofficially our week 6 football pick 'em pool winner. And I've yet to look up what my number is, but I want to congratulate. I just got to find my sheet of paper here with the winner's name on it. I think his team name was Gemini. Where's my... I had too many things written down today. Where is it? Here we go. Old Gemini. 19 points for Brian.
Wow.
Brian is the fella's name. 19 points. No tiebreaker, apparently. So Gemini will be in touch next week when everything gets made official as our Week 6 Pick 'em Pool winner. And, of course, our weekly winner gets a $150 gift card courtesy of our good friends at the Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar, open for takeout. Still got the patio open for the nice day. Friday is a patio day, everybody.
Yeah,
21
yeah.
degrees.
Yeah.
They are getting fewer and far between, but we got a couple coming up this week, including Friday will be a day to get out on the patios, maybe a nice last day to enjoy some really fine weather. So $150 is on its way to you, Brian. Congratulations. And that means our week 7 picks are already up and online. TSN1200.ca for our football pick and pool. Absolutely free to enter. New game every week. And a great weekly prize up for grabs.
Yeah, and just logged in for mine. Had 9 going into last night and ended up with 11 out of 21. So not the strongest.
Yeah,
so 19
noticed,
on that. Pretty good.
JR isn't drawing
his stuff. Honestly, have not
looked yet. They're pretending that he hasn't looked.
I haven't looked.
He looked 6 times late last night, which tells me that he's under 500.
What did you get, Emmer?
I got 13.
Nice.
I took the win for this week between the 3 of us.
Yeah, I got 10.
Jerry, you're way down there.
Wow. Under 500.
Wow.
Barely to double digits.
For the guy who tied for the overall lead with the listeners last year, I am struggling.
This year.
Yeah. All right, 641. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll set up the World Series. We'll hear from the daddy. Evgeny Dadonov speaks for the first time since signing with the Sens. And we'll talk some World Juniors as well. The schedule's out for the bubble tournament coming up in Edmonton. Who's going to be there? Who's not? It's going to be very interesting to see which NHL teams will make their star players available. Will camps be underway? So we'll get into some of that chatter as well. Keep your texts coming at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone lines open at 750-1200 as we roll on for a rainy Tuesday. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Unsigned, which maybe remains the biggest curiosity right now in NHL free agency. What, we're about a week and a half in. Dadonov and Hoffman kind of had the equal stats. Dadonov ends up getting signed by the Sens last Thursday. It's now 5 days later. There was a report on the weekend. Hoffman was looking at a one-year deal, five or six teams still in the running for his services, and here we are, it's Tuesday, and he's still unsigned. What's up with that?
I don't know. A couple of years ago, all of a sudden my phone rings, and it says St. Louis Blues, and it's Doug Armstrong on the line, says, hey, what about this Hoffman? I said, stay away from it. And then about a year later, when he won the Stanley Cup, I said, hey,
you're welcome.
Send me a thank you. I don't know where this is being generated, JR. I know he can score some goals, but I don't think anybody's sitting there and saying, hey, Mike Hoffman is the missing link. I've never been a fan. And again, nothing to do with the whole Carlson, whatever the hell that was. His overall game, hey, he can put up some points for you. To me, he is a good player on bad teams, and that's the way I'd summarize. And what's he played? Maybe about 25 playoff games. Like, there's no real pedigree there. So the way this is being generated and the way it was talked about, I just don't see any surprise. And I would assume that he'll go somewhere on a one-year deal for probably about $4 million for a team. I just don't understand why all this hype. And again, maybe it's just that, hey, there aren't many good players out there. But this felt like somebody was forcing it. And I don't know who the agency that represents him, but I thought there was a whole lot of hype. And that's not the way I think the industry reads Mike Hoffman.
Yeah, it's got, to me, it has the smell of a Columbus, a short-term deal with the Columbus. Yeah. Remember, they cleared the decks I'm assuming they were in there pitching on some of the bigger name free agents to try to get somebody to entice somebody to come there. Nobody ended up going there. So they've got money to spend. And Jarmo Kekalainen has, he's gone out. He traded twice with Ottawa, right, to bring in Matt Duchene and Ryan Dzingel, both of whom are kind of like, they're Mike Hoffman kind of players, right? They're very similar players.
No, it's a real good point. And hey, I'm a fan, and I hope he's not listening because we want to get him on the show again.
He rolls the dice.
Yeah,
he's a dice roller.
I guess he is, but he also hasn't rolled anything up that all of a sudden, hey, they had the victory against Tampa Bay. Yay. They overachieved last year on goaltending and coaching. When I hear that thing that he rolled out all this cap space to protect himself against an offer sheet, I don't know. That seems a little strange there, to be honest with you. Your owner says, hey, this is awesome. We bought out Wenberg, and we've got all this cap space. When's that offer sheet coming?
Right.
And they're not a very good hockey team. I mean, you know, like I said, and I'm a fan, but when you keep talking about all the drafting, outside of Werenski and the Jones trade was a hell of a trade. You start to go through that lineup, and even again, rolling the dice, and now they needed some playoff success. They won one round, and Duchene's out the door, which is a good move. They lost Bobrovsky. Panarin is the one that I think hurts them the most. Yeah, I don't think that they've done an overly great job there, and I think they've got themselves in some trouble where they're going to be touch and go to make the playoffs next year.
Right. Well, as you said, they've done some they've gone off the board with some of their drafting. They have a belief in what they do. It remains to be seen whether it's going to pay off. This guy they took in the first round, this Russian guy that was, you know, what, had been through the draft already, wasn't even on some team's boards, and they took him on the 21st pick in the draft?
Yeah.
That one was right out of the blue. Well, let's see if that ends up paying off or not.
Yeah, and again, I never have a problem with that. And Jarmo is a very sharp hockey guy. God, all the way back to IFK teams, helping here in Ottawa, the scouting he did in St. Louis. Like I said, he's a real good hockey man, but I'm just saying, hey, the results, you have to look at it. And again, you look at their system and you look at the crew that they have. Real well coached. And again, I'll put Hoffman on a list of... I would just love to see him on the bench with Torts because I think that when Hoff does that kind of look away, you know, that he likes to do once in a while, I think Torts will lose it. I think there's a possibility of him getting choked out.
Well, that's great theater. Getting choked out.
I'm just saying, no, but I look at a guy like that and I don't. Like I said, I don't see that working out very well. And the great part for Mike Hoffman, this wasn't in Canada. He can go to Florida and score his 30 goals. All you watch is highlights of him scoring. You don't have to watch all of what we saw here in Ottawa, which was a very moody player, a player that is not great in his own end. Man, can he shoot the puck? He does some great things. And also amazing that he cleared waivers twice, JR. But like I said, I just don't see between. And I'll say Duclair, same thing. And you know, teams aren't sitting there thinking, oh, man, we're just a Duclair or Hoffman away from winning a Stanley Cup. It's more like, do we really want to bring these guys in for right. 1 year, or right. do we just stay the course with our young players?
All right, so we'll talk more hockey with Pierre McGuire coming up after 8 o'clock, and we'll get into the World Junior discussion next hour. The schedule came out yesterday. We're going to get games on Christmas Day this year for the first time in 15 years. But baseball, World Series begins tonight, Game 1 between the Rays and the Dodgers. Tyler Glasnow will pitch for Tampa, the big lanky, 6'8"? He can bring it 98 miles an hour. He's got the great curveball and everything, but he can be a little bit wild, and he can give up some home runs. But so he will pitch for Tampa, and Clayton Kershaw will go for the Dodgers. He of the unbelievable regular seasons, great stats, come playoff time, Clayton Kershaw, 4.31 ERA lifetime in the playoffs for Clayton Kershaw, which is the highest of any pitcher in Major League Baseball history who has pitched 100 innings or more. So this is not a short sample size stat. This is an actual sample size stat of Clayton Kershaw not necessarily coming up big in the postseason. Here was him yesterday on that stat.
I think every year is different. You know, obviously postseason, you have that experience to draw on. So I'm just trying to, you know, learn from that as best you can. But, you know, at the same time, every year is different. Every team is different. The Rays are a different team than the Astros and the Red Sox. And, you know, I'm going to prepare like I always do and be as ready as I can be and excited about another opportunity to get it done.
Clayton Kershaw has made 5 World Series appearances, 4 starts. His ERA is 5.40. And the curiosity with him, like all his whip is 1.16, 27 strikeouts against 8 walks. Those aren't necessarily bad numbers. Mm-hmm. And we saw in his last playoff appearance, right? Did he not get to was it the 6th inning? It was a 1-1 game. Things were under control. And then all of a sudden, the inning went sideways on him. Like, it just seems like every time, it's not like he's given up a million runs in the first inning and getting knocked out. Yeah. It's just one big bad inning at some point does in Clayton Kershaw. It seems like every playoff
start.
Yeah,
and hey, 11 and 12 lifetime, you pointed out the ERA, and just hearing him talk right there, not overly convincing. And I guess this kind of takes on a life of its own, its inability to kind of handle the pressure, and I'm not feeling it, but like I say, we'll see. And I got to admit, I don't even know who the hell I'm cheering for. I actually would like to see both teams win, but I'm actually cheering for him. I don't see any reason, and these are tough things. And we commented on Hammer and I about David Price. And what do you say, Hammer? He's had 99 in the third
innings. He's got 2 more outs, and then he's right there with Kershaw.
And that's why he didn't show up this year. He didn't want to be involved in that stat. He said, I'm gonna. You keep my $30 million. I'm not going to have my stats put in with that, with 100 innings.
I'm thinking it's the Dodgers. They decided, you know, we can only have one playoff bust on the mound.
That's true.
So, Price, you take this year off. We'll go with Kershaw.
And I think if you're Kershaw and you're the pitching coach, you say, listen, do it like Price. When it's not working, just like David Beckett did at the end of his career, JR, just throw harder. Like if you can't strike them out. Yeah, exactly. Throw it even harder down the middle, because that'll make the ball go even further when it leaves the bat, right? And that's what Price would do. And I remember David Beckett right at the end of his career. And what's the big receiver or a reliever from Canada? Is it Gagne or what was it?
Aaron Gagne.
Oh, my jumping. When he
lost it.
Oh, and when he stopped doing the roids. When he came to Boston, that was exactly that. Listen, this isn't working. What am I going to do, guys? I'm going to throw even harder down the middle. And like I said, the ball goes even further over the big red monster in Fenway.
Well, this is a really interesting series in that you've got the huge spending Dodgers, biggest payroll in all of baseball, and you've got the very much on a budget Tampa Bay Rays. In fact, if you add up the salaries of the top 4 paid Dodgers, it's more than the entire Tampa Bay Rays lineup from first player to player 28 that will be on the bench. So there are lots of interesting storylines here. Yeah. Here's TSN baseball insider Steve Phillips with his World Series prediction.
Well, I tend to go with the big arms over the big hitting, but there's good enough pitching on the Dodgers side. I think the Dodgers win this series, but I think it's a very close series. I've got a 7-game World Series. The Los Angeles Dodgers get their first World Series championship since 1988.
There you go. And Simmer, you've had now 2 minutes since you said, I don't know who I'm cheering for to come up with your World Series. Yeah. Who are you cheering for? Be a fence sitter.
No, I guess I'll go Rays, but Dodgers spent a bunch of cash.
What a tepid endorsement.
Yeah. I haven't watched any baseball, so pretending to be, but I'm going to tonight. I'm going to sit down and watch a little
I'm
bit.
I'm asking who you're cheering for.
I said the Rays. Now, the other one is that the Blade Runner documentary starts at 8 o'clock, so what time is the first pitch at?
Well, it doesn't matter, but it'll be be the third inning. It'll be 10:30, okay. So you got lots of time.
Well, I'm going to watch the Blade Runner and documentary 30 for 30 on TSN tonight, and then I'll switch over. I'm not a fan of the baseball model, guys, and I have no idea when people talk about salary caps and how it's not fair, you can't keep your players. I love the system that the NHL has, and I don't understand the baseball model. And it's not just about the payroll itself. It's about the manipulation of the draft. It's about everything in it that as a sport doesn't make any sense. So for that, I'm going to be cheering for the Rays. What about you guys?
I want to cheer for the Rays because they're the low-budget team. They're doing it the right way. They're smart. I like Kevin Cash as a manager. But I can't cheer for another team in the AL East to win the World Series other than the Blue Jays. I got to be cheering against everybody else. Yeah, it makes complete sense as I'm getting the stink eye from
JR. It's not the Yankees and the Red Sox, though, really? Like
no,
the
but
AL
it's there.
East?
Yeah, you can't be cheering for if your favorite team is in that division. Yeah, that's a rival. This is a team that the Jays go to and visit and get smashed by every single time. And then the Trop is just maybe just on the Trop alone on that ugly stadium. I'm cheering for the Dodgers.
Yeah. Okay. Are we going 88, JR? Was Oral Hershiser, would he have been the MVP that year?
I don't know if he's MVP, but yeah, that was right in his wheelhouse
Sure. That was the whole talk about him, right? And was that towards the end of his career where they talked about finding his stuff, right? He became more of a mad scientist.
He found Jesus and found his
stuff. Well, a mad scientist, right? Like he was just, but boy, I thought that that.
We had that streak of, 59 innings in a row?
Is that what it was?
Scoreless streak. Okay. I think that was in that 88 season. Okay. That was the year they beat the A's. In fact, today I think is the anniversary of the day the Dodgers actually clinched the World Series by beating Oakland. Okay. Kirk Gibson, right, came off the bench with a pinch hit home run to win game one. And the Dodgers went on to win it. And you would think, man, the Dodgers were so good through the early 80s, taking on the Yankees all the time. And it has been a struggle for a long time. And now this is their third World Series appearance in the last 4 years. You would think they're probably due. But, man alive, I'm cheering for Tampa. Absolutely. Yeah. Cheering for the underdog. Love the way. I'm not a big fan of bullpen games and all that other jazz that they kind of started. But I love the way they play defense. I love the way they, they can hit home runs, which is exciting. But they can kind of just, they're very strategic. I just kind of like that aspect of baseball. So, that reason, I'm cheering for the Rays to win it. And I like seeing teams that spend too much money get knocked off. That's even better.
Yeah.
All right, so game one of the World Series will go tonight. Game two tomorrow. They're actually going back to they're playing every night schedule like they did in the championship series. So it's two games and a day off Thursday. So we can watch football, Giants and Eagles, and who doesn't want to see that one? Or maybe it's the presidential debate. And then Friday, Saturday, and if necessary, Sunday for games 3, 4, and 5. All right, we'll take a break. 6:59, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. Run down the scoreboard. The Cardinals crush the Cowboys, and the Bills fall to the Chiefs. And we're going to come back and talk some World Juniors. The schedule came out yesterday. What Canada may be looking at as far as a lineup goes, it'll be somewhat dependent, I guess, on whether NHL training camps are underway or not. But does Alexi Lafreniere really want to go back and play for Canada for a third time? So we'll get into all of that kind of talk. Pierre McGuire will join us later on as well. We're glad you're with us here on a Tuesday morning. Yeah, you're listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200.